Hey everyone, this is John Puritz. Welcome to the Man Up Already podcast. This show is dedicated to each of us being better in all areas of our lives, mentally, spiritually, physically, and relationally. We want to help you be a better you because when you man up already, the world around you is greatly impacted. Here on the podcast, we don't believe you're an accident. We believe each of us is created for purpose, and this show is dedicated to helping you discover and live out that purpose. Again, welcome to the show, and let's check out another great episode. All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Man Up Already podcast. Super, super excited to have you here. And man, I tell you, I'm pumped for today's episode. I don't think I've ever done one like it. I had this whole episode planned out for today and yesterday, actually this week. You know, you never know when God's going to put somebody in your space that really kind of shifts your paradigm. But that happened. I had been passed a referral by a good friend, said, hey, you need to connect with this dude. And we hopped on a call, had a great, great, great connection. And then yesterday, we just dove in deeper into these conversations that I'm sure will continue today. And I said, you know, he said to me, what do you want the next steps to be? I said, man, let's just get on a podcast and continue the conversation. So I had this whole episode planned and then spontaneously booked our guest for today. And I'm super pumped to have him. Before I introduce him, though, I do want to make sure, check out manupalready.com. We talk about it at the beginning of every episode. That's where all the podcast episodes live. You can also listen to the podcast on Spotify. You can watch it on YouTube and Apple Podcasts, and it's all over the place. So you can watch it on the YouTube Man Up Already YouTube channel, but all the things that pertain to Man Up Already are on manupalready.com. And also want to make sure that you know you can get one of these on there. The Man Up Already t-shirt is up in the merch section of manupalready.com. And coming soon will be a link for tickets for the 2024 Man Up Already Growth Conference. It's February 24th, 2024, Saturday the 24th in Port St. Lucie, Florida. But what's going to be different about this growth conference than last year is two things. The first is we are exclusively limiting the conference to 50 men. So anything above 50, it's closed out. You've got to get your tickets early. Tickets are going to be $50, $25 being really the ticket, and another $25 to include this shirt. So $50, every man's going to walk out of there with a shirt. We're going to build community. We're, unlike the last growth conference, we are going to really, really focus in on doing some work based on the book, manupalready.com, diving into the four pillars. Got a couple of great, great speakers to join. It's going to be an awesome, exclusive, empowering event. And those tickets will be on sale on manupalready.com. I'll keep you posted to make sure that you are aware of that. And go on the manupalready.com website and sign in so that we can get your email address and keep you apprised of everything that you need to know. And if you don't want to do that, just shoot me an email, john@manupalready.com, so that we can get you the information. I can get you on that list to make sure you know up to date what's happening with the growth conference and how to get your tickets. So with that, let me introduce or bring up our guest, David Rush. You know, as I shared, I'm going to let him kind of tell his story. But we had a great conversation referred by a great friend of mine. And he had just recently gone to his first Band of Brothers event, which I've spoken about many, many times on this show. But Band of Brothers is based on the book Wild at Heart. If you have not read Wild at Heart, please, please, please do yourself a favor and read Wild at Heart. Put that on your 2024 to-do list. You know, Dave came back from that boot camp and a friend said, hey, you need to talk to John. He's been to many and he's got this cool mission. And so we connected and I'm super pumped to have him on the show. Please give a give a great welcome to my new friend, David Rush. All right, David, good to have you, buddy.
Yeah, John, good to Good to be here. It's been a quick path for the two of us connecting, and excited for a rich conversation.
I know it, man. I had shared, you know, just before we brought you on, how, you know, God kind of shows up and connected us and just had great conversation, you know, over just the last couple of days, you know, and I have never done this. It's very, you know, I'll have people who are recommended as a guest and I'll do research on them and then bring them on. But to never, this is the first time I'm spontaneously like, man, it's just a good conversation. Let's just keep it going and record it. So it's good to have you here.
Yeah. Well, kudos to you, John, because you're being a little wild at heart, but I think that's part of what this is all about. Like
that's exactly right. Heard
a lot of this for me, and I know a lot of it for you and the path that you've been on. So I'm honored for that availability and openness.
Yeah. It's a great thing. So you had recently gone to Band of Brothers, like, what was that? 2 weeks ago, a week ago? When was that?
Yeah, about 3 weeks ago now. I think it was okay. 3 weekends ago. I was immersed in the retreat, or not the retreat, the advance. We call it the advance. We're not retreating from anything.
Right. But you read Wild at Heart before that event or no?
I had. I actually was looking at it right now and realizing, man, there's so much rich content inside the book. I had read it a year or two prior to actually going to this event, and it came alive for me again in a whole new way. And yeah, excited to share and go in whatever direction you want around it.
Well, let's start there. What were, you know, I talk often about that book. I mean, I read that book at 33 years old, and literally last Friday was 20 years of acting out, right? Living the adventures, you know, selling everything, giving everything up and moving here to Florida. What impact did that book have for you or on you?
I think this was one of the initial openings as, you know, I went on my faith journey, my Christ journey, my exploration on what it is to be a man, but also a man of faith, a man of God. And reading this book, I can't help but, you know, imagine that any man who reads this book would not be awakened or enlightened to something about what's deep inside of them. And that was my experience, you know, just looking at like, what does my heart really want? And as a little kid, a little boy, you know, the big audacious, adventurous dreams and visions and things that we had. And then just realizing I had gone into the corporate world, the business world, and been conditioned in such a way that a lot of that stuff either got numbed or faded away, or I just felt constrained. So as I read the book years ago now, it was, wow, there's something inside of me that I've closed off and I want to open it up again.
Yeah. And how many men out there are like, because I was the same way, right? Are in that scenario that there's just something missing. Like there's something off, right? Like, and we can't figure out what that is, but then when you find it, when you discover it, when somebody starts to speak into that, it gets ignited immediately.
Yeah. And that's powerful what you just said around speak into it. I had a man of faith speak into me when it, you know, it opened up some windows and doors of Christ and my, you know, my spirituality getting deeper inside of me. But he spoke about me and what he saw inside of me in a way that I wasn't allowing myself to see. And I think that's probably a reality for the average man out there, if not every man out there, what it's like to have somebody see you for who you really are inside and what you're really capable of. And, you know, in my journey and the things that I'm involved in, I feel like I come in contact with, including myself, like countless men who have lost that fire, that fuel, that I've got something big to do in this world and I'm fearless. I may be fearful of things, but I'm not going to have that stop me. I'm going to have the courage to lean in and step in and step up. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I love that. So give us a little bit of background about you, David. Like, you know, what's your story, man?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how deep we want to go. I'd say the high level is I was a shy little boy, like someone who was scared to raise his hand in school to speak out. Even though I was a pretty good athlete, a pretty good student, there was this fear inside of me, this reservation, this shyness, this, ooh, I need to be a good boy in some ways. I need to follow the rules. I need to do what I think others expect of me. And in some ways that guided a lot of my life early on, from the schools, the majors, ultimately getting to a financial career, Wall Street. I thought that was a pathway to wealth, fulfillment, what this life was all about. And I learned a lot of lessons along the way. But at some point, I realized I'm feeling very constrained. I don't have my voice. Like I didn't have a voice. It was like I was scared to say what I really thought at times. I was scared to step up for leadership and communication, whether that was in my personal life or in a boardroom, in a professional atmosphere. I was scared. And I think the bigger things in my journey are I leaned into that. I did a lot of personal development, self-development, professional development, everything from Toastmasters public speaking to improvisational comedy classes to leadership and development programs, where ultimately I started working and sharing some of the things I had learned and broke through with other people. And when I realized, there was a moment when it had been probably 10 or plus years in my professional career, and some woman came up to me and said, David, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for all that you've done for me and my communication journey. And my it's not only got me promoted, it has had my family communication and life completely transformed. And I look at one of those moments as, wow, I can make a difference for other people. And up to that point, I couldn't say any colleague, any manager, anyone in my professional life to that point had really given that kind of gratitude, that kind of thankfulness for the impact David could have. And that opened my eyes to say, I want to have impact. I don't just want to be, you know, the rat in the rat race. They say if you're the rat, you're still, you know, you win the race, you're still a rat. And for me, it was, I want to make a difference. I also want to live in my truth for who I am, figure out what my purpose and my mission is. And that's what really guides me a lot today in terms of my spiritual journey, but also my leadership and my entrepreneurial journey. I want to live in my true self and what my mission and purpose is, and encourage others and guide others to do the same. And that's not always well defined right now as I'm charting my course, but the path and the direction is fairly clear. It's just the details that are getting ironed out.
You know, there's so much in what you just said that I really do want to spend some time on, because for men and for women, what you just went through is so freaking powerful, right? Like, it's kind of like working out, right? I was talking about it with somebody, you know, the other day, where, you know, before you start working out, you're like, oh, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And then you start, as soon as you start moving, all of a sudden your body's like, yes, I remember this. I can do this. This, you know what I mean? And you start to feel good. And oh, I was mentoring a younger guy. Then he's apprehensive about, you know, doing some things come January. And I'm like, man, as soon as you start doing it, something will kick in. Your body will go, oh, I remember this. And you'll start to move through. But anxiety is normal. But what you just said was, I kind of woke up, or I started to tackle things inside of myself, right? And as you started to do that, self-esteem gets built, self-confidence, self-concept gets built, right? You take risks, Toastmasters, improv comedy, which I've never done, which, gosh, what a great way, right, to tackle just being around people or being in space and being spontaneous. It's so awesome. But then that confidence grows. And I think what happens is like working out, right? As you start to feel better, you start talking about it. And next thing you know, you're influencing people around you. And then somebody comes back and goes, your influence just impacted my world. And so many men and women don't take risks. They don't step out of that comfort zone. They don't start to tackle, you know, maybe I ought to deal with this, or maybe, and I think we underestimate the value of one human being stepping out of their comfort zone and pursuing better.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as you say that, I'm, you know, I shared with you recently that I just completed an Ironman.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And an Ironman, for anyone who is not aware of the extent of it, not as a, you know, glamorous, gloating kind of thing, but it's 2.4 mile swim, it's 112 mile bicycle, followed by a full 26.2 mile marathon. And when I decided to do it, there was a friend of mine, and he had done many of them. And there was another friend of mine who was already signed up for Panama City Beach Ironman in November, which just passed. And my first question was to them, do you guys think I could do it? And they both said, it's not a question of whether you can do it. It's whether you want to do it, whether you want to commit to doing it. And I said, well, what do I get out of it? What did you guys get out of it? And they said, I can't even begin to tell you what's on the other side of what that kind of commitment and that kind of journey is. And a fun or not so fun fact about me is 6 months ago, I couldn't swim a lap in a pool and I had a terrifying fear of water and drowning. And so not only did I learn how to swim and break through it, but one of my friends, a brother, stayed in a pool with me as I struggled with those first laps. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things where I wanted to get out of the pool, run away. I was embarrassed because I knew he could swim. And it was like those moments where we like to be capable. We like to feel like we're capable of doing the things in our life and feel successful. And this was defeat right in my face. This was awkwardness. This was struggle, frustration, failure over and over and over again. But to, I think what, you know, part of what you were asking is, man, on the other side of that, when we see something that's scary, that may be requiring us to step beyond who we know ourselves to be, the limitations we mentally may have put upon ourselves, on the other side of it is renewed confidence in self, is renewed realization of what we're capable of. And that's one of the biggest things I got out of that journey is, man, I think all of us as humans are barely tapping into what we're really capable of, what our true potential is. And it just renewed my passion for wanting to bring that to other people too.
Yeah, that's awesome. There's a couple of things here. One, I often talk about, I think it's the thing, as passionate as I am about, you know, manhood and the things that we're talking about, I think for all of us as people, men and women, what I'm most passionate about is that moment where you come up against everything you know and everything that you are and everything that you believe, and you hit the ceiling of that, and that glorious moment of whether or not you're going to push through it or fold. You know what I mean? Like, and some people will never bring themselves to that moment for fear, right? But fear is a tool of the enemy. But man, what lies on the other side of what you're talking about, that push, that press, that, you know, I remember in 2019, I did two things in 2019. I did 75 hard right when it first came out. And then I did at the end of the year, a tough mutter. And I thought it was the 5K and it was the full thing on the advanced level. And I remember thinking, dude, there was at one point halfway through that my knee went. I don't run because my knees are just that, you know, they're bad. And my knee went out, and the guys I was with who were young 30s, they were like, do you want us to like call a cart or like get you? And I'm like, excuse my language, I'll fucking die out here. Like I was, you know what I mean? Like I was ready to like, you're going to have to pull me off of here in a stretcher. I'm not quitting. And we talked about that on our last conversation yesterday on being immovable. So maybe we could shift into that concept, because if you're going to do an Ironman, you're immovable. Like there's no getting out of the pool. There's no getting off the bike. You're going to be immovable. I'm doing this freaking thing. And I think that's such a key to just being a strong. You had asked what does a strong man of God look like in our conversation? And I think immovable was something that I really talked about standing firm. So maybe we could dive in there.
Yeah. And that our conversation yesterday resonated for me. We haven't discussed what's come up since then, but a lot of it is looking at what do I stand for? Like what's my stance in this world? Who am I as a man? And when do things come at me that might ask me to not be what I said I was going to be? And do I remember who I am, remember what I'm all about, and continue to stand inside of that? Like I'm actually in a community that I'm creating right now. And there's a question of, well, what is this community about? And I'm the leader, the creator of the community. And there's differing opinions on that. And somebody reminded me of what the initial vision of it was that I had created. And I realized there was a little bit of, I'm not standing in who I said I was and what I said I wanted to create. And so it came full circle for me. And your words yesterday really rung true. Like, what is it about being immovable? Now, I don't think there's not an opportunity sometimes to reconsider what our viewpoints are and what our stances are. But once we're clear on them, are we swayed easily? And I think that's, you know, I think there's a lot of men and people in general, the words quiet desperation, living a life of quiet desperation, not being willing to stand up for what we really think and not being willing to have our voices heard. But I believe when we do, when people see other people doing it, it touches something in them that says, I want to do that too. And it's a beautiful place to be.
Yeah. A component of this whole man up already kind of mindset is integrity, right? And integrity is having the character to say, you know, to do what you say, right? Like if you say it, you know, be a man of your word, be a person of your word. And either don't say it, or if you do say it right now, you gotta back it up. And I'm a firm believer in whatever you want to achieve, or just say it, right? Say it to someone, because now you got to do it, right? Like there's no weaning out and all that. But at a foundational level, that when we talk about immovable, we're talking about, you know, if your health is in jeopardy or whatever, then yes, right? There are times where you may have to acquiesce or make some changes or do whatever to shift. Like, was I willing to die? Maybe in my head, but you know, like if I was facing death for a tough mother, maybe I would, you know, but my conviction in that moment was the point. And I think standing in our integrity, like you and I talked about what Elon Musk had just recently done in saying, I can't be bought. Not that we have to go down that rabbit hole, but I think that there are firm things that we, as certainly as biblical or just men, strong men of God, I like to say mighty men of God, a mighty warrior, you've got to stand firm in integrity, in character, in being true to who you are. You and I are very different people. And I think we're living in a world right now where everybody's trying to get everybody else to be like them or to accept their point of view instead of realizing that, no, each of us are uniquely created. And we've talked about that, that we have a unique divine design.
Yeah. And then as you're sharing, something that was reminded in me was at the boot camp, the Band of Brothers, how they used a lot of the powerful movie clips of movies that we're all inspired by. And one of the thoughts, you watch a clip that moves you, whether it's Gladiator or Star Wars or the epic journeys that men have gone on. And then afterwards, it's, why does that stir something up in you? Like, what is it that is? It's that there's that inside of us. We wouldn't be moved by something that doesn't resonate on a deep human spiritual level inside of us. And I think what's come out of a lot of this is it's in all of us, but it's also been locked up by many and dormant. And I'm on that journey. It's like, I want to be fully alive. And there's moments when I realize, man, I'm cowering back a little bit. Let's remind ourselves and let's continue to press forward, step forward, lean in, and ensure that not only us, but the ones around us. And I love what you said too. This is something I've been exploring recently, is the power of sharing with another what's on your heart, and not only sharing with another brother or person who you hold in high esteem and who will hold your word when it is that you want to back away. You know, do you have a brother? And that was one of the other key points from this, that weekend, was how often do men not have somebody, let alone mm-hmm. five somebodies in their life? And if they do have them, will they reach out to them? And that was a powerful moment.
Yeah, that's so important, especially for men, because we oftentimes feel like we're out on an island, we're shouldering our own world, you know, and we just kind of clam up, or we just, you know, try to take it all on ourselves, right? Like maybe be the Iron Man in life, right? I'm just going to knock this thing out and grind in, and it's damaging, right? You've got to have that, you know, cliche, but you know, band of brothers, I call it your posse, right? You've got to have that posse around you of men that that you can do what you're talking about with, and they've got to be men that you know are immovable, right? Like it's so key, because the last thing you want is somebody to go, yeah, you know, you're right, just, you know, you don't need that. Right. It's like crabs in the bucket. Right. They'll pull you back in, and then we get nowhere. Right? And I think it's incredibly, I mean, gosh, we're touching on so many things, but I think it's so incredibly important to be selective about who that circle is and to seek out. Right. I often talk about how important it is that before you, so if you go, all right, I'm going to get these men around me. And I think this is the reason why you and I are doing this right now. Is when you have a clear vision of who those people are, you recognize them when they show up, but you also recognize who they, you know, when they're not, right? Where so often we're like, oh, I need somebody to talk to, or I'm looking for a friend, and we choose the wrong person because we're not clear on what does the person that I need in my circle to support this life that I want to live, what do they look like? What do they sound like? What do they stand for, et cetera? And I believe that applies to everything, by the way, right? Every aspect of life. If you're going to do an Ironman, you at some point you had to be crystal clear on what it was that you were looking to get out of that thing, right? Because yep. In those moments of despair, those are the things that you cling to push you through.
Yeah, yeah. It's one thing I'll share right now is I've gotten a couple of goosebumps over the course of this interaction, and that's when I know I'm in a pretty powerful conversation. So thank you, because it's, I think we're hitting on some deep truths here that resonate deeply. And to use the Iron Man example and brothers, there was a moment after, as I said, I was deciding, my brother, Jason, said to me, he said, well, are you going to pick a date? And he called me out, and then I picked a date. And then I started training on my own. I'm going to figure this out. No problem. At some point he said, dude, when are you going to stop exercising and start training? And I went to see him for a weekend, and he took me through what a weekend of training actually looks like when you're preparing for an Ironman. And then in addition to that, he said, you need a coach. I'm not a swimming expert, but if you're going to do this thing, you need a coach. So I got a coach, and then the coach had a training group that met regularly, where there's other Iron Men people who are inspired to train together. And wow, what an upgrade it was from David thinking he can figure it out for himself to having a brother in accountability, a coach, a group of other people up to the same mission, surrounding each other, daily accountability. There's so much in that, but that's the difference between a life trying to do it yourself and allowing others to contribute to you. It's hard not to want that for other people, but you can also see a lot of other people may not realize the power of that.
Yeah, that's, and it happens so often, right? How many men die in that quiet desperation, right, in their life, die to their potential, right? Like they're just a casualty to what's possible. Because they don't have that posse, they don't have that group around them, they don't have all those things. I remember, you know, at the last Man Up Already Growth Conference, somebody coming up to me and saying, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to build. that posse. And I think it one starts with, well, what do these people look like, right? What values do they hold and share? So I love the fact that you now walk around with the title Iron Man. I just think that's really cool, man.
I still wear my bracelet. I still got the, it's like a friendship bracelet. Once it wears out, I'll take it off.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. What would you say? I'm just curious. What would you say to somebody who has a challenge running and doing something like that?
In terms of physically running?
Yeah.
I think this is what I said as I was working inside my community and some of my leadership. I said, what's your Ironman? I don't know that an Ironman is for everyone. If there's a physical limitation, there's stages too. You can do relays where one person does the swim, one person does the bike, one person does the running. But beyond Ironman, Ironman might not be your thing, but you can use the distinction of Ironman as what's your personal Ironman? What's something that would cause you to have to go significantly above and beyond what you're currently capable of from a training perspective, a growth perspective, a community perspective, and figure out what that is, and then figure out the stages. You could say it's not swimming, biking, running. It's this, this, and this are the three things that are components of my Ironman. And I believe when we put ourselves with a timestamp, a deadline that is what we could say is meaningful, inspiring, audacious, and it would be a real challenge for us to actually complete it, but we're committed to it. That's where all kinds of incredible things can happen inside of our growth and our life trajectory.
Yeah, that's so. I want to get clear on timeline. When did you complete the Ironman?
November 4th this year. Yeah.
And then you went to Band of Brothers right after?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Talk about like a fire hose of personal development.
I was coming in hot. I had our young men's leadership experience the weekend before the Ironman, then Band of Brothers. So I had quite a weekend experience for three or four successive weekends. Yeah.
I love it. So let's talk about then, how do you take all these experiences, right? Band of Brothers is a spiritual, right? Big awakening. And you've had this personal development, right? Completing an Ironman. Like I know, because after completing 75 hard, there's just a shift. Like I had a complete shift. Like I know most people aren't disciplined to be able to do this. And then I had the opportunity to coach a couple of people through it, and to watch them go through it was really amazing as well. But where do you now in your reality, right? David today versus David 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, what's changed for you? And then how do you move forward, I guess, in your message to people?
Yeah, I think what I just shared around what's your personal Ironman, I'm looking at that again for myself. And one of the things I shared with you in one of our conversations is, what does it look to be a spiritual Ironman? Like on my journey with my relationship with God and what I'm up to. And so I'm looking at that, like, what are the daily practices? What are the daily areas for growth inside of that? And it's in my conversations with people, because when I share my experience, it can open up a lot of conversations for what's possible for other people. So I'm looking at, what are my new commitments? What am I going to lean into on a regular basis to continue what I learned? Like there's a lot of upside potential inside of me. There's a lot of upside potential inside of all of us, but it takes something. A fun little one, which happened and I learned about today, couple weeks ago, I said, I want to be able to do 15 pull-ups by December 31st. So there's an activity. I've never been able to consistently do 10. So 15, you know, numbers wise may not seem all that crazy, but it's ground I've never been a part of. And I said, I want to learn a muscle up. A muscle up is when you not only do the pull-up, you can launch yourself above the bar in a powerful motion. So why is that relevant in this conversation? I realized that because I've been doing pull-ups daily on my morning runs, I'll go to the bar and do some pull-ups. I've gone from 4 or 5 to 11 in a very short period of time. And what seemed like arduous, and as you said, you know, I don't want to go on a run. Running is now fun for me, never used to be. And pull-ups are starting to become fun for me and enjoyable. And it's like, wow, like something that in my head was, I want to avoid that. I don't want to do that. That's not fun, is now becoming those things. And so I think there's something inside of that for all of us. What's the thing you're avoiding? Or maybe what's the thing that you could see yourself doing, but it's going to take something. Let's commit to that. Let's set a date. Let's put a plan in place. Let's get accountability. Let's get a team around it, and let's go.
And I think it's really, it's so good. I want to add that I think it's really important, again, to what's it going to look like, feel like, et cetera, when I do that? You know what I mean? Like, because there are those moments where it's like, I don't want to work out, or I don't want to freaking go for a run, or I'm in that, what I call the pit of despair, right? Where you've got it, there's got to be something that you grab to that's bigger than that moment to pull you through. I talk a lot about goals have to be emotional, right? Theoretical goals do not get accomplished, but when you're emotionally tied to the outcome, you push through and do Herculean things, you know what I mean? Like completing an Ironman, et cetera. And you know, like I'm literally right now, this has been an interesting year from an adversity standpoint, and my fitness took a hit because I was juggling so much, the fatigue, mental, spiritual. I had fatigue in all areas. And when that finally started to dissipate, I looked in the mirror and I'm like, okay, we are far from, you know, where we want to be. So I'm motivated. I'm on a fitness thing right now. I'm super pumped because I'm day 13 in consistency. And I've got a 90-day goal. But I'm pumped by, I don't want to be a fat ass. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I want to look in the mirror and be super proud of where I am at 53. So I'm motivated by that. It's an emotional thing motivated typically by a negative response. You know what I mean? But I think those things are incredibly important and stretching yourself. I didn't know what our podcast would be about, but you know, I'm calling it A Few Good Men, but I think it takes a few good men to say enough. I'm going to push beyond where I'm at, because the impact of doing that really does affect our homes, our communities, our state, right? Our nation, our world. I really think it starts with a few good men, and things really kind of multiply from there.
Yeah. Can I maybe ask, I know you've asked me some questions. Can I ask a couple?
Sure.
Your way? Because this is, it's interesting, you know, my morning empowerment call, the morning rush, I've recently had to answer, like, what is this all about? What's the purpose? What's the mission? How do we describe it? And so I'm curious, the man up already, what's the bigger, broader mission? And people who have tuned in probably have heard it one way or another, but I think it's always good to reiterate it. What's in your heart around all of this?
Let me try to keep that succinct, because it really has evolved over the last 20 years living out Wild at Heart. But number one, I know for a fact there is a spiritual battle going on. And when you filter life through that context, it's bigger than both of us. It's bigger than anybody listening. It's way bigger than any one individual. This is something that really does affect every single person. So because there's a spiritual battle going on and I've chosen the side of God, I filter life through that. And because how can I be, I always believe it's the end. You've got to process and know what the end looks like. And at the end of my life, what drives me, gives me meaning and purpose, is I want to come off the field of the game of life and get a proverbial pat on the butt from God going, good game. That is literally what drives me. And that has driven me in some form or fashion since my early 20s. I want to live a life of integrity. I want to do the right thing. I want to be the very best that I could be. And I think what Man Up Already is about is that's just not John. That's all of us. That's wired into our DNA as human beings. And there is a divine order of things that men are. If you take out men, you take out society. I firmly believe that. We have a role to play that is by divine design. And I know, being married as long as I have, having a son and a daughter, and watching that, and mentoring men and women over a very long period of time, you do see us slip into, and I don't think they're societal roles. I really do believe they're wired into our DNA, that we have roles to fulfill that are not programmed. They are created by a divine, it's not a societal programming, basically. And so if that's the truth, then these principles that I've walked through and lived through and know to be true stand for everyone. And how do we unlock that? That's what this mission, the Man Up Already movement is. You are divinely created for purpose. And that purpose serves a much bigger battle that most people can't see. And why I also believe, not only in Wild at Heart, but the book Outwitting the Devil, because Outwitting the Devil talks about, if we can get you to drift off the purpose that you are created, that's spoken about in Wild at Heart and in Man Up Already, you actually serve another purpose. And so we've got it's that battle that to me is the most important one of all.
Yeah. Wow. That was powerful. Well said. And I think why you and I have resonated so deeply with one another in such short order. I think when you find people who are up to similar things, and it's not hard to identify that that's the case, it's, ooh, that's a fun place to be and create from, and then see what's possible. Something you shared with me yesterday, the 2080, really stuck with me. Is, you know, I could try to be with and work with everyone, but who do I really want to be around and work with? And, you know, I do want to be with, call it the 20% who's really ready to lean in, to dig in, to work hard, to grow, to be the men we want to be. And part of that's discovering it as well. But it's like, yeah, who do you want to surround yourself with? Who are the people that you really want to go to battle with? And just a quick short tale is this young men's group that I started recently with four or five other guys, and it's been growing a little bit in evenings. But last night there was a moment where I was talking with one of the brothers, and we just realized that the different kinds of guys that have shown up, but each of them are open, willing, passionate, like ready to continue the journey, not like half in, half out. They're all in. And what a special place that is.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I'm in a band that's dealing with right now that not all of the members are in, you know. And I was talking about just the same thing, right? Like, you can't have an 80%er if you want to go for greatness. You got to have the 20%ers in something small like that, right? Don't get me wrong, right? There, in any organization, the 80-20 rule applies, right? But, you know, the SEALs are the SEALs for a reason, right? Like your men's group or any group, right? There's always going to be that core group that actually moves the mission forward. And where are we focused on? Because you could be so focused on all the drama of the 80% that we miss what the 20% needs to actually fulfill the mission. You know what I mean? And how many 20%ers die on the vine or lose from neglect because the focus was put on the wrong trivial things, that when we talk about the power of the posse, that wasn't happening because because the focus was just on nonsense.
Yeah. A quick thing that I thought up this morning, and you know, it made a lot of sense to me as I was reflecting on that, was there was a pull for inclusion. And I think that's sometimes a hot topic these days, is being inclusive. But as I looked at it in terms of what I wanted to create and who I wanted to be, I want to attract people who are up to big things and willing to take the risks and willing to lean in. And if I try to include everyone in that, the people who I'm actually looking for may be excluded because of the environment which with I've allowed to persist around me or around the community. And so it's an interesting contrast when we say, yeah, we want everybody to be available to this. But also, if you're going to go change the course of something, you want the folks that are willing to dig in and fight. And those people who are willing to dig in and fight, if you're surrounding yourselves with people that are not that, they may not want to be a part of it and actually feel unintentionally excluded from your circle.
Yeah, it's very true. I just got very present to each of us is a 20%er in something. But some people, unfortunately, are 20%ers in negative things.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like John Maxwell talks about making sure people are always in their strength zone, right? So an 80%er might be a 20%er in another area. They're just an 80%er in whatever it is because it's not their calling or it's not their strength. But sometimes people are 20%ers in complaining, bitching, moaning, victimhood, right? You excel at being a victim. Congratulations, you're a 20%er, right? And those things won't change until you change. A friend of mine said a while back, I'm just going to share this with you. I don't know why it popped up, but it really is true, that it takes a lot of energy to throw a turkey through a hoop. You know, and his point was eagles soar right through, but man, if you got to pick up that, you're going to be picking up that turkey, throwing it through the hoop, picking it up again, and you know what I mean? That takes a lot of effort and a lot of energy. And like you said, an eagle's going to get bored and fly away somewhere where it can thrive.
Yeah. I used to have one of the pivotal people in my life over time. He was this trainer at my gym. And when I was in New York City and I used to train, and I was actually in a body transformation competition. And there was this gregarious, infectious, loud personality. And his name was Big Joe. And so I started talking to him one day and I told him about what I was up to. And I decided to work with him as my personal trainer. But he would have these witty sayings and he was always like leaning in and firing you up. And what we talked about earlier, speaking about your greatness. And he made you feel like you could take on the world. But one of his quotes was eagles fly with eagles. Eagles fly high. And then I think he would say pigeons fly low. And it just, you know, who do you want to fly with? Who are you going to fly with? Who are you going to lock arms with? And man, I'm glad to surface that memory right now, because that was an example of having a brother by your side to lift you higher. And wow, what we accomplished together was just a beautiful thing. But that's, I think, one of the points here is together.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I need to kind of land the plane here. You have something called the morning rush, right?
Yeah.
So why don't we talk about that?
Yeah, I was part of an entrepreneurial group previously, and I had been leading some morning conversations for the community. And what I discovered was that a lot of us, certainly solopreneurs, but anyone who's looking to cause something out in the world, I'm passionate about morning routines. But as I led these conversations and we would explore a business or personal development topic from the beginning, go into breakout rooms and then debrief on it, all within a half hour to 45 minutes, people were lighting up about it. One, you got to learn something early on. Two, you were interacting and engaging with other people first thing in the morning, almost like going to the gym and getting a workout in. It was a personal communication and development workout first thing. And it resonated deeply with people. So a year and a half ago, I decided to create my own community called The Morning Rush. And every Monday through Friday, 8 to 8:30, a group of individuals who, this is how I explain it or express it now. It's the morning empowerment call for busy executives, heart-centered leaders, causing the change we want to see in the world. And so it's been a magical ride, and it's growing each day, and people are just getting some incredible value out of it. So yeah, I'm excited about it.
I love it. And you do that when on Fridays or it's every day?
Monday through Friday. So every day of the week. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So something I obviously got to check out, right? My morning's routine is very static, but I will find an 8 o'clock slot and come in there and check it out for sure.
Yeah, perfect.
I always like to ask our guests, what's the best way for people to find you and connect with you?
I haven't been a lot on social media recently, but I'm planning on making a comeback. But if anybody really needs to reach out, it's david@themorningrush.org. Feel free to email me. I'm pretty responsive. And yeah, if you heard that and you wanted to check out the morning community, it's open to everyone. So I eagerly encourage it. But this has been fun, John. I'm glad we spontaneously took the time to get into this kind of atmosphere. I think there's something so valuable about a live conversation that gets recorded in time, because I think a lot of juice comes out of an organic. I mean, we had a couple of them where, man, if we recorded some of that stuff, it would have been great. And I think we hit the nail on the head in some of this discourse here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been an honor and a pleasure. Do I have that right? Is that the right email for you?
That's it, David, themorningrush@themorningrush.org. Yes.
Perfect. 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 Well, dude, thank you. I'm looking forward to continuing our journey and our conversation. But the fact that you were on here, I would encourage our listeners to connect with you, check out your morning call, and get to know you better. Because we are, right? You and I both. We're looking for a few good men. And for our women listeners out there, right? We're looking for empowered, right, women to go out and do the same things. It's different, but it's still the same things, because when we all do come alive, we really do change the world for good. So thank you for being a guest today, bro.
Yeah, my pleasure. Good to be here.
Hey, thanks for listening to another episode of the Man Up Already podcast. We really do appreciate it. And I want to ask you to do a couple of things. Number one, subscribe to the podcast, whatever platform you're listening or viewing on. Subscribe to the podcast, right? Help us, right, continue to grow by joining the community. And also rate the podcast, rate the episode, right? Whatever platform you're on, you could leave a rating. Let us know your comments. Let us know your thoughts. If you can do that, we really do want your feedback. You could head on over to manupalready.com and check out our website. All the podcast episodes are on there as well. But also join our community, sign up on our emailing list. We're going to get content out to you. There's also a free resource there for you when you do that. And pass it on. Pass on the podcast. Let people know, right, what we're up to, what we're about. Speak about it. If you're a podcast enthusiast, please share episodes. Tell people about what it is that we do. What we do here and what you like about it and what you don't like about it. And that's okay as well. Right? It's just getting the word out. And then finally, I want to thank a great sponsor of our podcast, Master Beef Jerky. Their slogan is bold flavor, tender bite. If you head on over to masterbeefjerky.com, they've got incredible flavors there. But if you put in the coupon code MUAP, you will get 20% off your order. I highly recommend you check them out. Master Beef Jerky, bold flavor, tender bite, and a great, great sponsor of the podcast. Until next time, thanks so much for being here, and we'll talk to you soon.